The annual International Conference USA and European Union Days, which took place in Prague earlier this month, focused this year, among other issues, on the recent European currency and budgetary crisis, as well as on the economic situation in the United States. The conference featured prominent speakers, including former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, the ex-US Vice President Dick Cheney, former Polish President Aleksander Kwaśniewski, as well as two former US Secretaries of the Treasury under the Clinton administration, Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers. Czech Radio's Václav Sochor spoke to Mr. Rubin about the ongoing crisis in the Eurozone.
You know, the European crisis, it's really three crises. There's a fiscal crisis, there's a banking crisis, there's a growth crisis. Mm. They are highly, they're pressing, and those are short-term issues, and they've got to be dealt with, and I think the European leaders have consistently been behind where they should have been. There are also longer-term questions, which are structural questions, and the European, at least in my opinion, the Eurozone is going to have to deal with long-term structural reform, common fiscal policy, Eurobonds, Eurozone-wide deposit insurance, whatever else they may be, if it's going to continue for the long term. But right now, the issue is not those long-term issues. Right now, the issue is dealing with these pressing crises. And I think I've consistently felt, and I still think, that at the end of the day, the European leaders are likely to do what they need to do, just because if they don't, the consequences would be so severe. But the longer they've waited, the more difficult it's become. And I think it's really very, very worrying.
Was it, after all, a good idea to have the euro?
Well, what we thought at the time when it started was that the idea of a common currency could be very constructive. But we also thought, we being myself and the other people in the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, what we also thought was that it's very difficult to create a monetary union and then have separate fiscal policies and other economic policies. So there was a lot to be hopeful about, we thought, but we were also troubled about whether they could make all that work. And the European answer was that they had a growth and stability pact, and that would basically enforce a kind of fiscal regime. But, of course, what happened, ironically, is that in 2003 and 2004, I think it was, both Germany and France violated the Growth and Stability Pact. So it sort of undermined the force of that. And, of course, today we are where we are. It's a very, very troubling situation.
And at the same time, already this creative accountancy of Greeks started, which we have learned many years later. So the problems were there from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I think had everything else worked, if the other countries had stayed true to the Growth and Stability Pact, if the leaders of the Eurozone had dealt with the Greek problem when it first started, I think all this would have been very manageable. I think the real problem is that once the Greek problem started, the Eurozone leaders didn't act with enough sense of urgency. Mm. And I think that continues to be the case today.
Should America not help in a similar way, let's say, to the Exchange Stabilization Fund helped Mexico during its default in the 90s? Is the scale uncomparable, or is it an option that would benefit the United States?
No, when Mexico had its terrible problems, the United States played a major role in supporting Mexico. It's when I was at Treasury. And we had a fund, called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, and it had a fair bit of money in it, and we use that plus the IMF. But the scale here is just immeasurably larger, so that you can't, that kind of action is no longer available. And in addition, our fiscal situation, which was then strong, is now weak.
I will try it once more with adding more arguments. You were, let's say, saving the world by effectively pushing IMF to the right direction during the chaos on Russian, but also in Asian, Latin American financial markets in 1997, 1998. Is it so much different a story now?
With the IMF?
And with the euro crisis.
I think it is different. I think the euro crisis is different from the crises that we faced, the Asian financial crisis, the Russian financial crisis, the Mexican financial crisis, because the scale of it is so much larger. And in relation to the Mexican crisis, the Asian crisis, and the Russian crisis, between the United States Treasury and the IMF, we had sufficient resources. Mm. As long as the countries that were in trouble made the appropriate economic policy reforms, there were sufficient resources for those countries to get back on track. Now, of course, the Russian government never did make the reforms, and we stopped the financial aid. Here, there are two very big differences. The scale there are three very big differences. The scale is much larger. Our own fiscal situation is weaker, so that we don't have the same kind of resources. And the Eurozone leaders, so far at least, have not done enough of what they need to do. They don't have they don't seem to have the same sense of urgency that I think the leaders of the Asian, not that I think, the leaders of the Asian countries and Mexico had.
Václav Sochor from Radio Česko was speaking there to Robert Rubin, who served as the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury between 1995 and 1999. He was succeeded by Lawrence Summers, who held the post until the end of President Bill Clinton's term in 2001. Václav Sochor asked Mr. Summers about his view of the U.S. Central Bank's controversial decision to launch a third round of large-scale purchase of debt, a move known as quantitative easing.
Old Treasury Secretary habits die hard, so I neither prescribe nor predict what the Federal Reserve will do. I certainly relate well to the impulse that the Fed feels that our economy is growing at an inadequate rate and more needs to be done to sustain demand. There are many complex questions that go to the merits of the particular instrument they're pursuing.
But it doesn't really sound like any kind of endorsement. Do I understand it right?
No, you just understand that it's a reluctance always to pass judgment on what the Fed does.
What would be your solution then in such a situation?
I think there's much the United States can do. I've believed for a long time that the kinds of fiscal policies that are contained in the act that the President has proposed, which would prevent substantial public sector cutbacks, would promote the level of public investment, would seek in a variety of ways to encourage private investment. I think these are the stronger approaches.
In case this form of solution made by Fed doesn't work to help American economy, what is going to be next? What should be next?
I think we just talked about fiscal policy.
If it doesn't work, so
no. I think we talked about fiscal policy as an important step. There's a set of things that government also needs to do to affect the longer term investment performance of the economy. More confidence that the government's own finances are under control, more attempt to address a range of fiscal challenges, of other deficit challenges rather, such as the low level of infrastructure investment, such as inadequate research and development investment, such as doing more to promote the availability of higher education. I think all of these things are profoundly important.
You were the chief economist of the World Bank from 1991 to 1993. How could the World Bank help to improve the present situation of the global, let's say, recession or crisis? What would be the most feasible way?
Bank is going to have to find its way. When I was at the World Bank, it was providing concessional assistance in large quantity to China and India. Now China and India are themselves providing concessional assistance to other countries.
So it's nice that they pay back.
I think increasingly the role of the World Bank is going to be as a knowledge provider, as a facilitator of cross-border projects, is going to move beyond the traditional role that emphasizes the flow of finance.
Do you think that the USA should engage more in the solution of economic problems in Europe or not?
I think there's been an extensive dialogue between President Obama and Chancellor Merkel, President Hollande, Mr. Monti, and certainly Secretary Geithner has been very much involved with his financial colleagues. So I think the United States has played a constructive role and will need to continue to play a constructive role going forward.
There is Europe in crisis. There is China. As you mentioned, the present relationship. What is more constructive? What is better for the United States, if I ask very bluntly, to help Europe with dealing with crisis or to develop extensively ties with China?
I don't think that's an either or. It's like which of your brothers you're going to have a better relationship with. I don't think that's an either or context. The United States has a great stake in China. China's success in the global economy and a great stake in Europe's success in the global economy.
How could the United States?
I do think it's important to recognize that the world is going to change as China's economy grows, and if there is closer affinity across the Atlantic, it is more likely that that process of change will be a benign one.
Last question. Which model do you consider more reasonable as economists? That of IMF pumping money, let's say, into the economies, or the German policy of restrictions?
I don't think you can pose the question quite in those terms. I think there is a danger of excessive austerity imposed excessively rapidly, proving self-defeating if it causes economies to shrink so fast that the need to issue debt does not in fact increase.